that the Lord said to me at my last birthday, and y'all know it, you've heard it. But I'm 81, but I'm not done. Can't quit now because there's more race to be run. Amen. My assignment is still clear from the Father and the Son to preach grace and faith and teach how the victory is won. So I'm still on the job. Dr. Charles Stanley. I notice he's preaching from a stool now. But at any rate, but I tell you, actually my issue is, and that's why I sit down during worship too, if you need to know. Right now, whatever's going on, and I know it's medication-related, but in the morning, my blood pressure when I stand up is about 30 points less than when I'm sitting down, and so I get up and get lightheaded, so I'm just going to sit and keep on serving God as long as I need to. Either that or quit, right? No quit. All right, I have some notes here, but I think let's go to Psalm 91 to start with since we opened up the service. And by the way, Pastor Reed that opened the service for us, Dr. Stanley, he's a retired Marine, but we like him anyway. Psalm 91. And before I get there, I hope that just holds your place. Everybody say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Yes, Lord.
You know, it's important what we say.
Yes.
Young man on the front row up here. I know his mother's sweet and nice, and she smiles, but she used to tell him to do stuff. And whether he said yes or no had a lot to do with how his day went.
Right.
It's important what we say.
That's right.
So Psalm 91, we know there's great promises in this psalm. It was my mother's, my mother, who I mentioned earlier, lived to be 3 months shy of 99, with a good mind. She had a few problems in her body, but her mind was still good. She was in an assisted living place, and when any of the staff there had problems, they came to my mama's room to get some preaching and some scripture. Still on the job. She was on her telephone ministering, calling people. Lord put them on her heart. She'd call them. You know, assisted living didn't stop her ministry. But she read this psalm every day for many, many years, and she had two verses down here that were her favorite. That when she had in her old worn-out Bible that she still had, she was using, and I used it when I preached her funeral. And a lot of times when I do funerals, I'll ask the family, well, what was their favorite scripture? And I said, if you don't know, it's probably the one on the refrigerator door. I'm talking about if they were a believer. Well, I didn't have any trouble with my mother. I already knew, but in the front of her Bible, it said, my favorite scripture. And it has Psalm 91, and it says, no evil, I've got the NIV here, but the King James says, no evil shall befall me, no plagues shall come near my dwelling, because he gives his angels charge over me to protect me in all my ways. But Psalm 91 starts out with all these great promises, but they're to some specific people. A lot of folks just like to go get a scripture and say, that's mine. Well, you better read up the front about what you got to do to let that be yours.
That's it.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. King James says he abides. That means to move in and stay.
That's it.
He that dwells in the secret place, in the shelter of the Most High. Maybe I should have brought the King James because it's so in my mind on this. He that dwells in the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, or the shelter, that's okay too. And you'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then it says in verse 2, and I want to pay attention to that, I will say of the Lord. So this scripture is, that doesn't say I believe in the Lord, although you got to believe before you say.
Amen.
It goes on beyond, I believe. Yes, I believe. This is somebody that is saying of the Lord. I will say of the Lord, He is here the refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So we got somebody here that's verbalizing the fact that God is the one that's going to protect me. That God's the one that's going to look after me. God's my healer. God's my deliverer.
Yes.
I was recalling, you know, nothing in the world wrong with going to doctors. We all do, and For nothing, no other reason. I encourage people, if you're dealing with something, go to the doctor and get a diagnosis. And nothing else, that'll help you know how to pray. And God has given them wisdom and skill to come up with sometimes some answers, you know. So you might have a chemical deficiency in your body because you hadn't been eating right. Well, if the doctor can give you a pill to help that till you learn to eat right, go ahead and do it. But I was thinking, you know, King Asa, the Bible said he died of the disease in his foot. I don't know what the disease was, but it was just in his foot. He died, the Bible said, because he trusted the physicians and rather than trusting God. Go to the doctor, but know who your healer is, and be speaking out of your mouth who your healer is. I will say of the Lord, and it says, surely, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. And this thing goes all the way down through here. Down in verse 5, you'll not fear the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. In today's world, we say, not fear the bullets that are flying in the daytime. There's a whole lot of shooting going on.
That's right.
You've probably heard the story about, I know this guy's name. Anyway, it's a preacher, well-known preacher. Names and math I have a hard time with when I'm preaching for some reason. I got my mind out here in another realm. Anyway, somebody came in the church and shooting at the preacher right close to him, fired several shots, and they all missed. Here's a man that had been saying of the Lord, I'll not fear the terror by night or the bullets and the arrows that are flying by day. And that's not bad to be smart about that, but we don't get to get in fear. Amen. Listen here. It says in verse 7, and most folks can't get a hold of this, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. This is somebody that is saying of the Lord. 1,000 might fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. A lot of folks say, well, the flu's going around, I'll be the first one to get it. No, you're supposed to say, if everybody else in town gets the flu, I'm not getting it. Amen? And if you do, then what are you going to do? Run it off. Don't settle for it. If you make the Most High, verse 9, if you make the Most High your dwelling place, even the Lord, who is my refuge, it says, no evil will befall you. No, my NIV, I'll just go ahead and read it. It says, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. No evil shall befall you. No plague will come near your dwelling. Why? Next verse tells us, because he commands his angels to guard me. Thank God for the ministry of angels. Sometimes we forget about that. We need to pay attention to that. I pray that almost every day. Start out about every day with a couple of promises in here, and one has to do with praying over everyone. Don't I pray over all of our family that no evil befall us, no plague come near our dwelling? Because why? Because God's given his angels charge over us. I've been doing that for years, and I've seen all three of my children being car accidents, one in a motorcycle accident that should have killed them, and they came away with some scrapes and scratches. My daughter Leslie, that you know, she was in her early young years. She had a husband that she made a bad choice about. I'll just say that. Had her on the backseat of a motorcycle down in South Carolina. Since you don't have to wear a helmet by law down there, he didn't have one on, but she's smart enough to have a helmet on. But she had on cut off pants and a tank top, and he turned that thing over going at a high rate of speed on not a asphalt road, but a tar and gravel road. And she slid a long distance, but came away with some scrapes and scratches and nothing broken, and thank the Lord. But, you know, we give credit to the claiming protection every day. It's important what we're speaking out of our mouth. That's what I'm saying to you. I added that and opened up there. I got 2 weeks to preach, so if I don't get through all this today, we'll just unhook and hook back up. All right? And I'm watching the clock back there, and I'm looking at my watch. You know what that means when a preacher looks at the clock. It means absolutely nothing. All right? I'm going to go to this scripture later, but you know it well, so just let me quote it to you. But in Genesis chapter 1, in the very first verse, it says, in the beginning, God created what? The heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute, and I'll take you to that scripture and look at some more to go with it. But we see here that God made a a natural realm, and he made a supernatural realm. I thought about this morning bringing, I put a little thing on the screen up here in the past. I showed it to Dr. Stanley up at the gym in my phone the other day with two circles. Got the natural realm, the earth, and you got the supernatural realm. Now, out in the heavenlies, that's not just the supernatural we're talking about, but that's where it abides. And here it's here to operate on earth as we invite it in.
Yeah.
And so there's a natural and a supernatural, and each one of them has a set of laws. And so we could call it the kingdom of God, we could call it the natural kingdom, and we could call it the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. And then, of course, part of that supernatural realm is controlled by the devil as people allow him to.
Yes.
They both have different laws. If I had brought my globe, and I have been on most of the spots on that globe or close to them somewhere or the other, a lot of it's covered with water. Now, if we're standing here in this church or standing out on the ground, there's a set of rules that we operate by. One of them is we need oxygen in our lungs, so we need respiration. Now, to inspire means to breathe in. To expire means to breathe out. And so when somebody expires, they just didn't breathe back in again. Well, so we need to respire. We need to suck it in and blow. In comes the good air, out goes the bad air. Sometimes when I'm dealing with something, I start breathing through my nose real deep, and I say, in comes the Holy Ghost, out goes the devil. All right? But now, listen, if you get, a lot of this, 70% of this planet's covered with water. If you get underwater, you don't want to operate by the same breathing rules that you do up here. Because you're in a different realm down there. You're in a different realm with different rules. Now, the fish are made to operate, get their oxygen out of the water, but you throw them up on the ground and they can't breathe. A kingdom is a system of government that's ruled by laws, and the person that made the laws was somebody called the king. We know about the kingdom of the British Empire. And you got England and the British Isles and the British Commonwealth and all these other things. But Great Britain basically owns, rules, places all the... I was looking on my globe yesterday, way down there at the tip of Argentina, almost to the South Pole, is something called the Falkland Islands. England has fought over those things numerous times because they still rule there, as far away as it is. But a king... And the king has rule over whatever you'll allow him to rule. Wherever he rules, that's his part of his kingdom. So if you say, no, Lord, no, you're not in the kingdom because you have rejected the king. So supernatural rules, laws are different. God made the law of gravity. You don't want to try to defy that.
That's right.
Right? If you get outside the pull of gravity, out in space far enough, there's different laws out there. I'm doing all this to point out people are so worldly minded, we're so natural minded that we tend to let the natural rules overwhelm us instead of putting into operation the spiritual laws. Spiritual law says no evil will befall me and no plague will come nigh my dwelling because God gives his angels charge over me. We could spend weeks preaching about the ministry of angels because the Bible says a lot about it. I'll tell you one thing it does say about angels. It says they watch over God's word to perform it. They are sent to be servants to those of us who are heirs of salvation. If you leave here today and go to a restaurant, they have some people there that are servants. They come to serve you. But you know what they're going to bring you? They're going to bring you whatever you order. They're not just going to run to the kitchen and get you the best thing they have automatically and bring it to you when you walk in the door. They're going to come and listen to you and see what you order, and that's what they're going to deliver. Angels are watching over the word to perform it. It's important what we say. It's important what comes out of our mouth. Two kingdoms with two sets of laws. This world has, got a man here who's a specialist in finances. This world's got some rules about finances in the worldly mind. And those are, get all you can all you get, and if you need any more, just go in debt. All right? But what's God's order about finances? Give. And it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. And you know what? There's a couple levels to that. I think I might have shared this with you before. I don't know if I have or not. But so much of the church is limited to a degree. They get a little degree of blessing because they got that scripture in Luke 6:38. Well, given it shall be given to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give. That's truth. And it will work. But the problem is we limit ourselves because so much of the church is looking at that from this angle. Their focus is always, Lord, I have given. Where is the man that's supposed to be given to me? That's level one. Start there. Okay, start there because you'll get a little increase. But then if you really want to get in on the goodies is when you get to the point and say, Father, I'm the man. Where are these folks I'm supposed to be spreading your blessings to? Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. And the more we bless, if we just want to be the receiver from that, so I come up and I put my little bit in the plate, or even a lot in the plate, and all I'm looking for is a little return on that. But you know, live a life of giving. Be a generous tipper, I'll say for one thing. That's a blessing that I learned a long time ago. And you don't get blessed only in the natural return in the restaurant because if the waitresses find out you're a generous tipper, they do treat you real well. I'll tell you that. But that's not just the blessing I'm talking about. You know, Jack, I think waitresses, they make 3 1/4 an hour or something about like that or less than that. About that. They're probably making around $3 an hour, excluding their tips. And sometimes they stand around in the restaurant doing slow hours, and they're not making anything, but they're there. They're cleaning up stuff. They're working. And so it's just a good chance then. So I would not, waitresses shouldn't be poor, or waiters, they do well. But if they're in a situation where they're working for not much, I know the Bible says to me, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. See, we're talking about spiritual laws. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord, and the Lord will repay you. I was over in Charlotte when I was still working a secular job by vocational. This was a long time ago. And I stopped over there at one of the Bojangles at lunchtime. I don't eat at Bojangles all the time, by the way. In fact, mostly breakfast biscuit about twice a week. But at any rate, I stopped in that place, and it was around lunchtime, and I went in and got me something to eat. And when I came out, there was a man standing on outside at the door there. And you know, people that are living off of hustling are good at picking out who might give them something. So he came to me, and he said, I hadn't had anything to eat in 3 days and all that, and I need some help. And I said, well, come on in. I'm going to buy you lunch. Well, he said, I don't really, if I go in there, I can just eat one time. If you just give me the money. You know, I can go to the store down here, and I can get me some meat, and I can get me some bread. Well, that's sensible if it had been telling the truth. Because right past the store, about two doors, was the liquor store. All right. So, but, you know, I gave him some money. Handed it to him. I reached out and shook his hand and gave him some money. I said, now, let me tell you something. I said, this is not my money I'm giving you. This is God's money I'm giving you. And I said, I'm going to be blessed from giving it to you because the Bible says he that has pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord repay. And I said, but this is God's money you're getting from me, and you better do with it what you said you were going to do. Amen. So I watched him. He walked. It was in view of where he got to the whiskey store was on this side of the grocery store. He got to there. He didn't know I'm watching him. He stopped and turned and he looked. And then he looked again, and he started to go, and he boned down to the grocery store and go in. Whiskey store. And he did that several times, and then finally he did go on down to the grocery store and go in. He needed me to let him know where that was coming from. But see, I reaped a blessing from that. And two kingdoms divided. So that's, we got a struggle here because there's a battle going on. There is an enemy. I think one last message I preached here was about the perpetrator. There is an enemy out there that's trying to take what God's trying to bless you with. And we have to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. We have to We have to say yes, Lord, yes to the Lord, and we have to say no to the devil, because the Bible says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. And he will do what? He'll flee from you. He really will. Two kingdoms. There's a time coming when those kingdoms are going to come together. They're not going to merge. One of them is going to take over the other one, because it tells us in Revelation 11 and verse 15, I'm not going to take time to go to it myself. You can if you like, but it's when the seventh trumpet is blown, and it says, and the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. That's coming, but it's not here yet. Meanwhile, we're in here with two issues going on. And I'm going to tell you something. The church almost appears to be fighting a losing battle in the current time. I heard Robbie Zacharias a little bit this morning. I didn't hear much of it, but I heard the tail end, and he was talking about what happens in a society when evil becomes trivial. When evil is no longer important, it becomes trivial. And you know, it's the church's job to stand up to that. The hope is that the church is going to rise up, and I pray that all the time, the church is going to rise up and be the church. Let the church be the church, and it'll have an effect on the world. Now, I'm still reminding you some scriptures because you know them so well, and then we're going to open our Bible here in a minute. And I remind you of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 that says, seek ye first, priority one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. And it tells us two things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, that's that kingdom we've been talking about. That's got kingdom laws. Give and it'll be given to you. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee. Stay under this mountain. Be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea. Not doubt. Believe in your heart. Those things you say will come to pass, and you'll have whatever you say. Therefore, I say unto you, what things serve you desire. I'm talking about kingdom laws now. What things serve you desire. When you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. What things serve you desire. When you pray, you'll have them. No, what things soever you desire when you believe, when you'll have them. Matthew 6:36 says, seek ye first, number one priority, the kingdom of God. So, I like to paraphrase that this way. You've heard me do it before, some of y'all. Seek, make your number one priority to find out how the kingdom of God works. I heard somebody else saying, I like this. Make your number one priority to find out God's way of doing things. Somebody else told me the other week, make your number one priority to find out how the principles of the kingdom work. Priority number one. Most important thing for me is to find out how the kingdom of God works. If I don't know, I can't work it. We have to learn how this natural kingdom works to operate in it. If I decide that my priority, we think about priorities, number one priority, find out how the kingdom of God works. If my number one priority was to find out how this cooling system, see, Pastor Robert controls this thermostat up here normally with his telephone from home or wherever he happens to be. Well, he wasn't here this morning. And so I had to go around and find, we had to go around and find somebody, and we came up with Pastor Reed that knew how to do this thing without the pastor's telephone. Now, if he had made a priority sometime or other of somebody telling him that or him finding out, we'd all be sitting here sweating now. Yes. When something's important to you, you find out how it works. It's your number one priority, or well, just make it your number three priority. If it's that high on the list, is that you're growing a garden and you've never done it before, and you want to get a good garden, you need to do some reading, you need to do some studying, and you need to talk to somebody that knows how to do it. Amen. Pastor Lewis, have our tomatoes been planted, mine and yours? Have you set out our tomatoes? Well, I've got three plants myself. I know he knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. Amen. Talk to somebody. Study. Number one priority. How does the kingdom of God work? In the area of finances, in the area of divine health, ministry of angels, and all this stuff. Got to be learning, got to be studying. I have stacks and stacks of old tapes, albums, and CDs and books. And you know what? I invested my time in those things of learning the Word of God. That's primarily the Bible college I went to, although I've been in Life Christian University teaching now for 15 years. So to make it my number one priority, not only did I have to invest my time and my intellect in it, I had to invest some money in it. You know, people that think the Word is the most top place in their life. Now, you know, this church is a blessing because this is a giving church. We have CDs out here, and they are church. Tell me, they are what?
Free.
All right. Give them away. I do the same thing in my ministry. I've got MP3s and I've got CDs, and I just, if I go to church somewhere, I put them out there and said, I'm not in the business of selling CDs. But now it's fine if our ministry needs to do that. And I let them know also, though, I do have a ministry, a personal ministry, and I'm still doing things, and I let them know that we do accept offerings, but these are not for sale. We're just going to give the word out. That's what we do. But at any rate, I've seen people that'll tell you that the Word of God is number one in their life, and there'll be a set of CDs or something out here that will answer the problems they're dealing with right now. And they go out there and they look and think, $15? Gracious, I could never do that. But now, you know what? They'll go to lunch and spend more than that. Economics is a strange thing. You know, the way people think about it. They think nothing about spending big money at the racetrack or the ball game or even go to a movie or something. And then when it comes to putting in this plate up here sometime or another, you know why? The devil's not trying to talk you out of giving them other places. I was up at Kanapa Church of God when some of y'all remember Terrence Rose, Reverend Terrence Rose, when he came to town. And I'd been invited to come up there, and they said, you need to come. And they were having a big meeting, and so it was the first night I went, and I was planning on going back some more. And so I'd never heard him preach before. And when they took the offering up, I had had this left shoulder right here, and I don't know if $22 will help me right now, but I'm still having some issues now. But I hadn't been able to stick that arm. No, it was this arm. I couldn't stick it out to the side for about a year and a half. Couldn't do anything with it. It was like this. And I was in that meeting, and we had some worship, and then the pastor got up to take up the offering. And so I looked in my billfold, and I tell people I hadn't arranged my billfold and made sure I had some ones and fives in case, you know, what the Lord said to me or whatever, or the devil said to me. So they're taking the offering, and I'm thinking, I've never heard this guy. I don't know if he's any good or not. And I looked, and I had a 20 and two $1 bills is what I had in my bill. So I had them two ones right between my fingers. Now, I was going to give more the next time when I came back, maybe. I had those two ones between my fingers, and the pastor up on the pulpit, that's a big church, a lot of folks there, he said, now get on back past them ones and get some real money. So you know what I did? I got the 20 and the two $1 bills. I took what the Lord was telling me to give and what the devil said to, and just gave both of them. And then we started and continued to worship, and we're singing, I'm healed, I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm free, you know, however that song went, and I've got the victory. And you get up and wave your arm, and I told my wife, I just realized I got my arms up in there and it don't hurt. Now, I didn't buy a healing for $22. But I tell you what, saying yes, Lord, yes, will buy you a whole lot of stuff, right? Yes, Lord, yes. Be ready and willing. Be ready, be a cheerful giver. If you want to be the man or the woman that everybody's looking for because they know God has blessed you I'm not talking about people trying to, you know, suck it out of you. You got to be cautious about those, but that's when you're going to get into real flow. I might get me a PhD in that area of finance. All right. Now, I already have one, in fact. I didn't tell you. I got a PhD in finance. Past having doubt. All right. I seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. I hadn't got to that. And his righteousness. I had preached on that for years. Matthew 6:33 has been my favorite scripture for years. I've told people. That's my scripture. And then just a few weeks back, I was looking at that scripture. Coming up here for a pastor's prayer meeting that we have. I was coming up here. I was thinking about Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that word he has jumped out and got me. And I realized that most of the sermons I've heard about this were them trying to get me to look at my righteousness. They were trying to get me to look at my righteousness. No, this is about his righteousness. And his righteousness is a righteousness that is by faith. We could go to Romans chapter 4, but I'm not going to go. Maybe do that next week. Romans chapter 4. What has Abraham learned concerning righteousness? He learned that he believed God. And what? Believing God was accounted to him for righteousness. And what does righteousness mean? It means to be in right standing with God. In right standing with God. The people in here, the folks you're in right standing with when you were younger, and some of you still have living parents, if you do, you're in right standing with them even though you're not living a life of total perfection. There's still some areas that mom and daddy would like for them to work on, but still you're in right standing with me because you are my child. You can come to me anytime, no matter what, and I'm there for you, right? It's great to be in right standing. And you know what happens when you're the righteous? When you're in living in God's righteousness, some things just come to my mind. I don't have notes about it. I know one thing. The righteous are bold as a lion. Amen. I know this. David said, I have been young and now I'm old. He said, but I have never in all my life, no time ever seen those in right standing with God forsaken or his seed having to be out begging for bread. That needs to be preached in churches. That needs to be preached. Too many churches where folks are forsaken, and I'm talking about people that love God, I believe. But the inner church has never taught them anything except condemnation. And that God had a reason for you being poor. You poor, your family's always been, you always been poor, you always going to be poor. No, we got to get over that and start teaching people that the righteous, right standing with God, God is there to bless you, and you're not supposed to be forsaken. And you and your children are not supposed to be out begging for bread. Don't condemn yourself if you are. Find out where you're missing it and get over there, right? Get to take advantage of being in right standing with God. There's so many things. You know, part of that why the righteous have never been forsaken or their seed begging bread is because there's another scripture that said the righteous lendeth and has pity on people. Amen? So the righteous are givers. And if you're a giver, you're going to also be a receiver. Am I right? When I heard that God pointed out to me about his righteousness, about that same time, that same day, as I was thinking about it, I've never seen the righteous forsaken God's seed out begging for bread. About seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. I heard this from the Lord. Satan doesn't have to get you into evil or to sin in order to defeat you. All he has to do is to keep you in the natural realm. Keep you thinking natural. My new friend and I were talking the other day that we got to realize there's more going on out here in the spirit realm that affects my life than what's going on in the natural realm. What God is doing in my life has more effect on my life than what all this natural stuff is doing in my life. You get to realizing that, and it makes you want to spend more time in the supernatural realm. More time in the Word of God, more time in the prayer closet, whatever. More time living out the Word of God. More time saying, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, in whom I trust. Surely he's going to save me from the problems. Lord's looking after me. Now, how's my time? I'm looking good. I'm doing good. All right. Let's go back to Genesis. Go to Genesis, and this time we'll open the book a little bit. Genesis chapter 1 and the very first. Genesis chapter 1, the beginning. In the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at some laws, some of these laws and principles that affect the kingdom of God. We notice it says in the very first verse, in the beginning God created. Do you know God's the creator? In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I thought, it's been some years back that I taught a series on creation versus evolution. And then while I was teaching that, one night our youth pastor had moved on and gone somewhere else. I was the associate pastor at that time at the church downtown. And I told the pastor I'd take the youth that night. And so I talked to them, and we talked about creation and evolution to these folks there. At that time, most of them in high school or middle school. I said, my advice to you is, because the school is telling you, when I was in school, we had something called the theory of evolution. Now it has become so-called settled science. Well, you can't settle science unless you can repeat the experience, right? And you can work on this experiment. You can look in some people's yards that have a 1956 Chevrolet that's been sitting out there on concrete blocks for all these years, and see if it's turned into a Mercedes or if it's turned into a pile of rust. If evolution is right, so it would have bettered itself. But no, it deteriorated. And we do too. But it says in the beginning, I told those young folks, I said, my advice to you, I believe, is just know what the church is telling you is the truth. Know what you're learning in school is not. But when you take the test, go ahead and give them the answers they want. No use you failing the course. But then you can go ahead and let the teacher know, I know this isn't so, but I put the right answer for you on the test, if you want to. And when I was in junior college down in Pensacola, Florida, while I was in the Navy, I was taking, what was the course? It was English literature. And so we studied these three writers, all of them heathen. But the three of them had different ideas about what immortality was. One of them was that we would die and they bury us and we just enrich the soil, basically, you know, fertilizer. But one of them was that we pass our heritage on to the next generations and so forth. And so I started my paper. We had to write our main paper. That was going to be our grade. And I didn't, which one of these three do you agree with? I didn't agree with any of them. But I started my paper and I said, because I have a Christian biblical worldview, I don't agree with any of these as far as their answer. But if I was to choose one that I most agree with, it would be. And I put that down and I told why. And I made an A+. My teacher even bragged on it to the class. But what I did was, and those of you who are teachers and know that in today's culture, if you can write an introduction, three paragraphs, and a conclusion, you're going to get a good grade because you're one of the very few that can. But anyway, no, I had a good paper, did good research. But I didn't compromise my principles, and I made my statement, but still, I didn't give up my belief system. There's too many families right now that are spending a fortune to send good Bible-believing Christian children off to some place that's going to suck all the truth out of them and fill them full of lies. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I want you to notice, we're going to see three laws. We're going to see some laws of the kingdom. Page one, the law, these laws of the kingdom I'm talking about. We know about the laws on earth, the law of gravity. All right? Law of gravity says you're going to stay here, and if you get up yonder somewhere and jump off the balcony, it's not going to be a pleasant experience. I've tried that a few times, typical things like that, younger age, you know. I mean, the time I decided we were watching superheroes, I think this was about third grade, and on my neck, we were all planning on flying, being able to fly. Well, when I tied the bath towel around my neck and tried to jump off the roof of the house, it didn't go all that good. But at any rate, prayer didn't work that day. But I violated the law. And then people get so spiritually minded and no earthly good, and so somebody's up on a steeple at a church somewhere that's got a big steeple and say, I'm going to dive off of this thing into the parking lot. And I say, you're going to hurt yourself real bad. And they say, well, we don't believe that way at our church. I say, well, you're still going to hurt yourself real bad. Because your church needs to straighten out there. Because the natural laws, God made the natural laws. They're true, but he made the spirit laws, and that's the one people ignore. So here we go. The first law of the kingdom is revealed in the scripture is that God is the creator. To create means to make something out of nothing. You and I cannot do that, but we can take something that God's already created, even if it's in the spirit realm, and we can call it into existence in our life right here if the Word of God says I can. I can call healing to me. I can call deliverance to me. I can call peace and joy. And it's not something out there hiding from me anyway. I'm supposed to be growing it myself. But then we go into verse 2 and we see something here. Well, let me point out verse 1. Verse 2. Now the earth, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I'm preaching some stuff this morning that's review for most of y'all. All right. Things were not organized yet. God had done the creation. He put the natural soil, he put the materials here, I believe. But the Spirit of God was moving, hovering over the waters, or moving. The Spirit was moving, but nothing had happened yet. Because something is an ingredient missing, right? It's got to do with the laws of the kingdom. The Spirit was moving. But notice verse 3, and God said. And that's when something happened. When the moving of the Spirit and the Word were mixed together. Amen. When the moving of the Spirit and the Word of God were mixed together. You hear folks say, boy, the Spirit got to moving so in our church Sunday that the preacher didn't even get to preach. Listen, it's wonderful when that happens once in a while. But if it happens 4 Sundays in a row, you need to tell your pastor he needs to get his lazy self to get up a sermon. You know, you can... A good manipulator can keep the Spirit moving if they don't have nothing to preach. Amen? But it's when the Spirit moves, it's the Spirit and the Word mixed together. In my automobile, I need gasoline and air. It won't run on raw fuel. You've got to mix some air with it. The air is the Spirit. Word pneuma is the same word for spirit, air, breath, all in the Bible. And God said, so the second law, first law of the kingdom is God's creator. Second law of the kingdom is that the way the creative power of God is released is by the spoken word of God. You say, where do you get these laws? I got them from the Lord as I studied these scriptures years ago. Because he said in verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be, and there was. And verse 6, and God said, let there be, and there was. And verse 9, and God said, let there be, and there was. And verse 11, God said, and it was. And verse 14, and God said, and it was. And verse 20, and God said. And verse 24, and God said. And verse 26, and God said. Everything God created up to the man, he spoke it into existence. The creative power of God is released by the spoken word of God. Now, if God doesn't show up to speak the word, who can speak the word of God? I can. You can, and when we do speak the word of God in faith, things happen. Psalm 91. And the people he's making those promises to, they say of the Lord. They say of the Lord. Y'all have heard. I'm preaching partly because I need to hear it myself. I just need to remind myself. Right? Because we have heard over and over again about the words coming out of our mouth. And then the next thing you know, you look around. Us folks that get about 70 and beyond. I remember when I was as young as you. I was spry like you then. I still am. But we don't watch it. We start talking old. Get over that. That's why I'm so glad the Lord gave me them things to say. 80th birthday. Y'all have heard, most of y'all heard this. I don't think you have, but y'all have read this to you the other day. Because I still say it. because I need to keep telling myself. I'm 80 years old, but I'm still strong and bold. I still have sermons to be preached and testimonies to be told. I've got books to write and devils to fight as I walk by faith and not by sight. God's Word has proved faithful through all these years, and so I head into my future with faith, hope, and without fears. His Word is my guide. By the Spirit, I'm led, and I'm walking into blessing, and my best days are ahead. Amen. I can do that, or I can say, I can sit on a stool and preach and say that and believe it. Amen. And by the way, y'all noticed that Miss Wanda, my lovely wife, came in here without her buddy, without her walker this morning. And she was on that light stroke had limited that a little bit. She needed a little something to lean on, but we keep standing on the promises of God and let the physical therapist come to the house and work on you and exercise in things in the natural, and the day will come. As long as you need something to lean on. But I tell you what, you might just sing you a little song when you need something to lean on. You know that song. Lean on me. All right. As the second law of the kingdom is the creative power that God has released by the spoken word of God. And so that's why that God has had prophets in the Old Testament to speak that word, to keep speaking it and proclaiming it. And in the New Testament, the ministry of the prophet is different than it was then. Because now the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer, and the Word of God can come with power and authority out of the mouth of any believer that will open their mouth and let it come out. And sometimes we need to talk to things. And the third law, I got to mention that, is, I'm going to go down to verse 27, I believe. 27. God said what he was going to do over here earlier, but now he's actually doing it. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He made two of them. He said, you a boy, you a girl. You Adam, man, you Eve. He didn't say Adam and Steve. You Adam, you Eve, you boy, you girl. Now listen, I have tremendous sympathy and compassion on people that have let themselves get confused about this. I'm not harsh on people that have problems, but I'm harsh on the world that lets them, that strengthens their problem by telling them this is how it's supposed to be instead of telling them the truth. Because I've been reading so much stuff about so many. One of the big reasons of so much suicide going on in that community is because they have people telling them, and they know I'm not. They know something's wrong, and they have people telling them. And nowadays, even parents programming them when they're young. But God's created male and female. I think they specified that here thousands of years ago when it was written to help us out today, maybe if we needed it. All right? He blessed them. The first thing God did with his people he made was to bless them. As soon as he made them, he blessed them. And a blessing is spoken. He spoke a blessing over them. And the blessing was, he said, be fruitful and multiply in number. Increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. That means take charge of it. And rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every other living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I'm getting to the third law right here. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. What God put, he put them here, he put trees here with fruit on them. He put plants with fruit. But he may not know that in every bit of that fruit there is seed that will be food for you. Now, that don't mean they eat the seed. That means plant the seed. Because I have given you, God's a raw material God. He gives you what you need to do something with. He gave them trees and plants that had fruit on it we can eat today. But if we want to eat next year, we got to take these seed out of these plants and we got to put it in the ground and sow it and do something with it. So the third law of the kingdom is the law of seed, time, and harvest. And it goes all the way through the Bible. It tells us in the New Testament, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Do you know what that means? You can't fool God on this. What you sow is what you're going to reap. What you sow is what you're going to reap. Every one of us in this room today, whatever we're reaping in our lives right now is a result of what we sowed back down the road somewhere. A lot of times we sowed it with our mouth. Sometimes we sowed it with our actions. The good news is you can change what you plant. And the better, even better news, good news is you can even go dig up seed if it hadn't produced yet. So, we got three laws there, and the Bible keeps on. And really, a whole lot of what's all through the Bible is based on those. God's a creator. The creative power of God is released in the spoken word of God. If I need something I don't have, I need to start saying it, if it's promised to me, including healing, including blessing. And the third law is the law of seed, time, and harvest. What I sow is what I'm going to reap. And this scripture is not just about money right here. Now, every one of these, and the ones on the other side too, everybody that sowed here, I'm looking at the backside of those envelopes, there is going to be a harvest on that. But that is not really the seed. That's what plowed the ground for your crop. I pointed this out to y'all before, I think. Preachers tend to repeat themselves. Well, old people repeat themselves too. Older people. So that's because I just found out we just need to hear it over and over again. And I need to remind myself. But, you're an experiment. It's garden time right now. It's not too late for some things. Go out there and you got some ground plowed up already somewhere probably. Make you a nice row. Get you some ones and fives and tens and twenties and go out there and put them in the dirt and cover them up, plant them down, water them every day, and dig them up in a month. Wait for the harvest to come in. You ain't going to get nothing except wet money. But no, that prepared the soil. That giving prepared the soil. And then the seed is the words that's coming out of your mouth. And you're saying, I have given, it shall be given to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into my bosom? Lord, I'm a giver. I'm blessed. I'm going to be a blessing. I brought my tithes and offerings into the storehouse. You're going to rebuke the devourer for my sake. You're going to bless me. And all that. See, what am I doing? I'm sowing my seed. I'm not just all about getting money, by the way, but we need money. The church needs money. We need money. I have in my pocket here, this church is a giving church. I have in my, they've already given me, they didn't wait to see if I preached any good. They gave me the check to start with. But then this other one here is made out to Spirit of Faith Ministries for Bishop Francis Souza in Kenya. I gather up money for him and just run it through our ministry. This church supports every quarter. And he always tells me every time he calls to thank y'all for the blessing you're all. And I think you saw that when they had a big honor for him, people from Kenya and Uganda all over came and honored him for being back in the 80s, he started preaching faith in Kenya. And it spread, and he's got hundreds of ministers under him that he's taught and prepared. So, and you're sowing into that, see? That's you need personal income. Because the ministry over there needs income. Amen. Now, law of seed, time, and harvest. Okay, I'm going to look. I really am. I'm going to try to get us out of here at a reasonable time and save it for next week. In Mark's Gospel in chapter 4. Mark's Gospel in chapter 4. And there's a parable in here about the parable of the sower. So is the word. You've heard it. And you've heard it. And you've heard it, and you've heard it, so Jesus came and told him a parable about a man that went out and sowed some seed in the ground, and it fell in different kinds of soil. Some of it fell by the wayside, just on the path or the road, roadside or something, and it says the birds came immediately and devoured it. And when you get over into the explanation, when Jesus starts explaining it, that bird as a dirty bird. That bird, the explanation was, Satan comes with persecution and affliction for the word's sake. He comes with what? Persecution and affliction. You've got a lot of friends that don't know that. Satan comes immediately. What happened? You got some word. Somebody sowed a little word in you. Or you sowed some word in you. And Satan will come immediately because why? His number one priority and his number one job is to get you out of the word and get the word out of you. The devil came to the Garden of Eden. And God had put Adam in charge, and Adam and Eve gave him authority and dominion and told him, and they said, all these blessings, which meant hundreds of trees or whatever and bushes, you can eat off of any of them. You can eat off of all of them except this one. I think God was saying, that's my tree. Don't eat off of this one. So here comes Satan. Did God say, what's he trying to do, get them to doubt what God said? They had all this blessing promised to them, and only one prohibition, one thing they could not do, and the devil comes right to that and says, he got the word out of them. He got them to believe him instead of believing God. And how'd that turn out? Still fighting that battle. All right? So, Jesus comes with this, and thankfully, some of it fell on good soil, but remember, we've got four different kinds of soil there. And I'm not going to preach all this today. I think there's some MP3s out there. I've got a whole series on this. But, so then, at the end of the message, it looks like most of the folks, when he told the story about the farmer and the seed, most of them went home. Didn't even understand what they heard preached. But there was a few of them that stuck around, because it says in verse 10, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parable. You had a few folks, the 12 apostles, and this is from other folks, stayed and said, Pastor, you quit too soon. Can we have afternoon service? We want to understand what you're preaching here. We want to know about this. And Jesus said unto those folks, he said unto you, he's not talking about the ones that left now, he's talking about the ones that are still there. He said, to you, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. And then he explains the parable to them, that it was the enemy that had come trying to get the word of God out of him. If he's on just ground that hadn't even been prepared, he can just come in with bring some trouble, persecution and affliction. So then he'll send you to a good church somewhere then that will explain to you that God did all that to you for a reason. He's trying to teach you something. No, he didn't. The Bible said Satan cometh to meet with persecution and affliction, trying to get the word out of you. And Jesus explains all this to him. But the key to what he explained was, the first thing he explained to him, I'm not just talking about bean seed, okra seed, you know, cantaloupe seed. He said, the seed is the word of God. The sower is sowing the word. He said, this parable is to explain to you how the devil, by getting you too busy, too involved with everything, too worried about everything, or just don't pay attention, try to get you to whatever that the word can't produce in you. The subject of the parable is the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God, and that the way you sow that Word of God is by speaking it out of your mouth. It's Psalm 91, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. I got plenty more for next week. I will say of the Lord. And what am I going to say to the Lord? I'm going to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I said, I was in 2010. Y'all know I went up to, I had been retired the second time I retired from pastoring. I'd been retired 2 years. But then I went up to visit this church in Salisbury, asked me to come to preach one Sunday for them. Well, then they asked me, after I preached that Sunday, they called me the next morning and said, we had an elders meeting. They were without a pastor. We want to know if you could come October through December every Sunday unless we've got somebody to try out. I said, yeah, I'll do that. So I did that. And then they hadn't found anybody, so I took it for an interim as a while. And they were asking me about being the pastor. And I was praying about it. I wasn't opposed to it, but I was wanting to hear from heaven. And I hadn't really heard for sure. And so I came up here into this building one day, and I sat right back there where Larry Honeycutt's sitting. And that seat, that was a row back, the row that's not there anymore, or Larry's old seat. And we got some back row folks that they couldn't get them to move up, so they just took that pew out. I love every one of them. I love every one of them. And they get it double, because when the sound goes back, they get it, but it bounces off the wall and it gets them immediately again. Y'all have to wait for it to come up here. But I sat back there, and I came in here and I walked these aisles, and I was praying about an answer to that situation. I wanted to know what the Lord was saying to me. And I walked back and forth in these aisles, and I prayed with my understanding, and I prayed in the Spirit. And I wound up sitting back down there in that seat, just worshiping the Lord and praying. And by that time, I'd already prayed everything I knew in my mind to pray, and I was praying in tongues. And then all of a sudden, I found myself singing a song, and I didn't even know where it came from. And that song was this. It was, "Lead me, Lord. Lead me in thy righteousness. Make thy way plain before my face. For it is thou, Lord only, that makes me dwell in safety." That wasn't a good note from me right to safety. I just said that one. But when I was singing that, I thought, where did that song come? That must have come out of the old Lutheran liturgy when I used to be a Lutheran or somewhere. I don't know if I ever heard that song. And I sang, but in the singing of that song, "Lead me, Lord, lead me in thy righteousness, make thy way plain before my face. It is thou, Lord, that leads me properly," and all that. In that singing, I knew that answer. The answer just came to me. And the Lord told me, and you know what I did? I said, yes. I said, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. And then I think early in the week, and I called. Next Wednesday night at the church, I told the elders I'd like to meet with them a little bit, and I told them that if you want me to install me as the pastor, I will. The Lord said, that's good. Go ahead and do it. And so I went to preach one Sunday and stayed 6 years. But I had to get myself in a place to hear the Lord, and then I had to get myself in a position to say yes to what He was telling me to do. Right? Yes, Lord, yes. And you know, we have a free will. We have a free will. Have a free will. Everybody say, yes, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. You just take a minute. Take a minute yourself. And you just think about and let the Lord speak to you if there's some things you're needing to renew your yes. You can just do that right where you are. You can just maybe have to renew some yeses. My TV's got a pause button on it. Sometimes we intend to do things and we've got it into pause mode. Sometimes the Lord's saying, time to move on. Time to move on with that.